The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now we're diving into the world of wedding drama, from influencer brides to over-the-top demands. Reddit has a wedding shaming group, a safe space apparently for guests to vent about pricey gifts and tacky ceremonies. Joining me now to discuss is Sarah Kennedy, who is editor and Irish wedding blogger. So Sarah, what are the kind of things that are getting wedding shamed on this forum?
Oh, God. Well, it's given that Reddit is global, so you're getting a whole load of different cultural influences. And you tend to find that it's between the US and the UK brides that are coming up the most. So what you're really seeing is, and this, like, look, don't get me wrong, I'm not an advocate for these shaming groups, but it's kind of no different to the word of mouth and the gossip that we do one to one with our friends. But the big ones are really around the cost. So you find stories like, there's a bride who sent an invoice out to her guest for their meal in advance of the wedding. You've got other ones where they're putting down, it's this price we want you to pay as a gift. We expect you to pay $3,000 to come to our wedding in Mexico, and you're fully funding yourselves. So if you want to be there, that's what you need to pay.
$3,000 to attend a wedding.
There was one where she said each guest has to pay into this account $3,000 by X date if you want to attend our wedding in Mexico. So you can see how that would rub people up the wrong way. But then the other pieces are like just general, some of them are cruel. Some of them are just observations about things that might be tasteful for the couple, but just maybe not to their taste. So it's a few different things like that, but it's generally the big, hyper, big discussion boards are always around the couple looking for money. And no matter what way you look at it, that's what tops the poll every time.
Is there an expectation, whether or not they give voice to it or send out invoices, that the amount of money that a couple will get in gifts will equal what they spend on the wedding?
Not really. So you'll find that, so when you look at the average amount that's going into a card, and this is a poll that I run regularly, you're looking at about 200 to 250 euros, that kind of average per couple. So if you're bringing, you know, your 100 couples, that's still not going to completely cover the average cost of a wedding in Ireland. So while you're getting some money back and you're clawing some money, it's highly unlikely it's going to cover the entire wedding. That's just to bear that one in mind. But I do recall, like, I remember when I was a wedding coordinator sitting with couples and they'd be saying, okay, so we're going to get X amount in cards, so we'll just pay you that the next day after the wedding. And I'd have to say, no, this has to be paid a month in advance. I'm very sorry for your troubles. But, you know, that there is some sort of expectation that, you know, a certain amount of the money is going to cover the wedding. But you have to really remember your wedding has to be paid for in full through all your suppliers in advance of the day happening. So more for honeymoon, better for your honeymoon pot.
We've talked therefore about the kind of complaints there were about the run up to the wedding. What about the ceremony itself? What annoys people at the ceremony?
So there's a couple of different things. So, well, first of all, no guests ever sing and dance about how great it was to be in a really long ceremony, right? So these kind of hour plus ceremonies, people can pallet an hour, and, you know, obviously with the civil ceremonies, they're like 20 minutes. So a lot of people are celebrating that. But when they're going into an hour and a half, people are losing their will to live.
An hour and a half for a wedding ceremony?
Depends on the priest you get. Yeah, I've heard of this happening where just between the delays, some of the readings going on and maybe just a little chat in between, and it can just escalate and all of a sudden it's an hour and a half in, you know, so just bear it in mind. It can happen. And I suppose given that we still have quite a high level of Catholic or religious ceremonies, that would still give you then that bandwidth that it's going to be about an hour long ceremony. So that can happen. But really, where I see most people giving out when I hear from guests, there's a couple of things that people will kind of come up to me on the street or they'll DM me about. And I'll always hear about if the food didn't start till late. So normally people, they go to a wedding and then they'd kind of expect to be seated for their meal between, you know, 5 or 6, maybe 6:30 at a push. And you hear stories of like, it was 8 o'clock before we sat down for a meal. And that could be delayed through numerous reasons, not always at the venue's fault, but it could be photographs went on too long or something happened. But then the next pet peeve around food, and you see, you don't annoy people when it comes to food. So wedding reception meals that go on too long. So say they do sit down at 6 o'clock, but then they're not coming up for air till about 9:30. That kills people, 10 o'clock, because sometimes people, they might do the speeches staggered out through courses, which no chef will ever thank you for, or just the service might have ran on too long and people get really annoyed about that. That's what I would hear an awful lot about, is really around the food. So you're always really conscious about getting the food right, because that's what you're paying the most for anyway, for the wedding day.
Where do you stand on an arrival, what, canapé, amuse-bouche, whatever you want to call it, to stave off some of the starvation and then the big meal after?
I'm telling you, I would put this down as one of the essential items to have on your list, because you have to remember the day, right? There is no point in putting on that Prosecco arrival if you are not supplying some finger food to go with it, because it's a long run. So if you think about it, people may have had maybe their lunch a while ago, or they haven't had their lunch yet. They arrive to a wedding. Straight away, you've got the Prosecco arrival, tea, coffee, and maybe some cake or whatever, or some biscuits. But then they may not be seated till 6 o'clock. So that's an awful lot of time, you know, sipping away on a couple of drinks, which can, you know, people can be tipsy before they even get their meal in the first place. And I've seen it. I've seen it myself at weddings. It's a long day. So I would always say, you know, for what you would pay for some finger food, there are other things you could probably, that are less important for your wedding day. Always try and have that where you've got a good gap between arriving from your ceremony to sitting down for your meal. Always try and do, you know, some finger food in between. Your guests will thank you for that.
You mentioned the chef not thanking you for staggering the speeches through the dinner. What sort of reaction to the speeches generally?
So if they're too long, that drives people absolutely bananas, because they're not necessarily always in on those in jokes, and it drives them bonkers. And look, there's a reason why there's always that, you know, the roulette with how long are the speeches going to take, and whoever wins the money, they have to go buy the round of shots. But it drives people absolutely doolally, because they're sitting there long enough, having had their meal, that they want to get up and enjoy the party. And then just speeches that go on and on and on are a killer. And particularly a speech from one person that goes on too long and drags out a point. Not everybody wants to hear about your full timeline as a couple, like whether what you did at the age of 3, what you did at the age of 7 and so on. So it's really about keeping that concise so you can get on with your day. And as well, like when you think about it, I had this conversation with somebody. Somebody told me that they were, you know, sitting for a wedding and the speeches went on for what was about an hour. And I'm like, well, you know, Coldplay went on for an hour and a half. Like, you know, you have to weigh it up. Like what? Like this is part of the entertainment. And as well, you, of course, you want to have your lovely sentimental moment, but sometimes you just need to make sure that you've very kind of clear guidelines to everybody. Don't go over the top on the speeches. Let's keep them savvy and keep moving.
Yeah, there had never been a wedding in human history where people at the end of it said, that was very good. I just wish there had been more speeching.
Exactly. Now, I love a good speech. I love a good cry at a good emotive speech, but I'm also happy to be done and dusted within half an hour of the speeches, you know. But it's funny, actually. The main thing that people come up and tell, that volunteer to me, and it's always men. So whether that's relatives, whether that's people I work with, whatever it might be, the first thing they will say about the wedding is, yeah, yeah, lovely day. But my God, the price of a pint at that venue. I swear to God, and they always give out about it. So you could have the most fabulous day. And then I hear from a certain kind of age group of males, the price of the pint. I had one gentleman tell me there recently, it was actually at the wedding show on the RDS the weekend. He was at a wedding and it was €9.50 for a pint of Guinness. And he said he nearly fell out of his standing. So like, that's what I hear. It rubs people up the wrong way. So there's always those few little nuances. They're the pet peeves for guests when they're attending a wedding.
While we're talking finances, I was intrigued to see on the original Reddit thread how much extortion came up. Either people extorting their own workplace. One person saying that they tried to overcharge for the services of a photographer and then try to blackmail the photographer into doing the wedding for free. And then people trying to extort money out of their guests using guilt.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I've heard of people setting up like GoFundMe pages to fund their wedding. I've seen that in America. Yeah, and then people coming up with, I suppose, various different scenarios that they feel that the guests, we'd really appreciate your donation to allow this wedding to happen. I've absolutely seen it. And I've seen it with suppliers as well, where they've been, you know, being asked to do something on goodwill because such and such, but it's not really true. And I've heard this happening regularly. So, and people do, you have to remember, particularly in the Irish wedding industry, the suppliers are like, this is a real passion for them. Like, you don't work in weddings unless you love it. Like, and they're really creative people. So they're really good at, you know, looking after people who really need it. But that goodwill will only go so far when people are kind of exploiting it. So 100%, it does go on, but you tend to see in America, that's where I see most of this happening when it comes to the guests, is the extortion out of the guests and people viewing that their wedding should be crowdfunded. That is a big, that seems to be a big trend actually over there at the moment.
Well, one woman writing to a friend saying apparently that she wanted a particularly generous engagement gift in and around $1,000 because, quotes, "I'm currently struggling financially due to unexpected medical bills and can't afford the wedding." My God, that's laying it on thick, isn't it?
I know. It really is. And this is the thing, what you tend to find is that in some cases it's very genuine that people are and they're very sick and maybe it's their last wishes to get married. And, you know, so you do see genuine cases like that and people really rally behind and support. But then there's some people who aren't genuinely sick and they get found out and then that's the whole other Reddit thread. So it's a vicious circle. But yeah, I just think ever since that you've got such platforms like, you know, that are built around crowdfunding, why not put a wedding in there? So yeah, it is. It's a big emerging trend. Luckily, I haven't seen it in Ireland yet, but it's definitely, yeah, overseas. Yeah, they're mad for it.
Let's keep our fingers crossed that that remains the case. Sarah, as ever, thank you very much. That is Sarah Kennedy, who is editor and Irish wedding blogger.
Thank you. Thanks a million, Anton.
That's pretty much it for us today on the Pat Kenny Show. Don't forget that if you missed anything, we will upload all of our items as podcasts and you can listen to them on the News Talk app powered by Go Loud. You just search for the Pat Kenny Show. So if there is anything that you didn't hear on the show, if you missed, for instance, our bit of a chat with Graham Norton, we will pop all of that up and you can just go search and have a listen back.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.